I'm Maria Dudzak, and joining me in the studio, we have Margaret Cloud. There is a group called Let's Sign Ketchikan, and they are offering free American Sign Language classes. She's here to tell us a bit more about those classes, as well as a bit about the deaf culture. Thank you so much for joining me.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's start off, I guess, first, how did you get involved with Let's Sign Ketchikan?
It started about a year ago when I had somebody ask if I could teach them how to sign, and I said, I'd love to, but I don't sign. And so I bought some materials, some CDs or DVDs, and some books so this person could self-teach himself, and he did a little bit. Then a few months back, I had a bus driver here in town say that she needed to learn how to sign because we're going to be having some tours of a significant number of deaf people coming with tours here to Ketchikan this summer. So I said, okie dokies. And so I thought, well, we get together a group of us maybe and sort of do the each one teach one. Ultimately, I had a community member step up and say, hey, I can sign some and I'll be happy to lead a group. So that's really how it got started, and I did not envision having a Facebook page and all these classes and buying materials and getting this all going. It just happened on its own, and so I thought, well, let's get a name for this little activity, and I came up with Let's Sign Ketchikan, and with the flyers, I have Let's Sign and then the word Ketchikan, and underneath each letter of Ketchikan, I have how the finger spelling. So it plays two different ways, you know, let's sign Ketchikan, let's all learn how to sign, plus let's assign the word Ketchikan. And then a little bit of information about signing, about why signing is important. And then at this point, we've done 9 weeks of sign language training, the beginning class, and I put together materials. And now, starting in this fall, we'll have a textbook that we use. We're going to transition to a regular textbook. And then right now, starting next week, we'll be resuming beginning and intermediate signing. So the program is growing and the interest is growing.
Are there many people who sign? I mean, obviously you have the group together where you're all learning. Are there people who sign well, I guess, in town?
There are some people who are deaf who use signing as their means of communication. They are nonverbal. And so the only way that they can speak is through ASL. From everything that I have learned, we only have one certified sign language interpreter in town, and she works full-time for the school district. So this hinders people's ability to have an interpreter available when they need it. There are some hearing people who do sign. I haven't really found many people here in town who sign very proficiently. And so the woman who volunteered to help initially, she signs. She is not completely fluent in signing as a person who is deaf, for instance, or an interpreter. So she's been leading our Tuesday 1:30 classes. And then I learned about a man who is completely deaf, lost his hearing at a very young age. So he has been helping us with the evening classes. And so he will be doing the Tuesday evening class beginning and then followed immediately with the intermediate class starting next Tuesday the 13th.
And these classes, can people just come to them? Do they need to sign up? Is it something you could drop in each week, or do you need to kind of stay the whole time?
We would prefer that people register, and that's what I'm really, especially for the Tuesday evening classes, because we aren't able to always have a separate study room area or meeting room to use. So that class may need to be in other places. So I'm having to limit the registration at this point to 5 people for both the beginning and the intermediate class, simply because of space constraints. And the classes, it's best if people can attend every single class. But I set up the beginning classes so that there is a review. You learn some new signs, but you review everything from the very beginning. So there's all of the fingerspelling, the alphabet, the numbers. So that is a constant review of everything learned, plus adding something else on. Now, once we switch to the textbook, it's not going to be quite the same. And definitely this fall, people will need to attend really every class and sign up at the beginning. We had a lot of people coming in week 5, week 6, and some of them said, oh, this is too much. When you start new, I will start new. But it is a free class, and the purpose is to bring American Sign Language to the community, also to make people more aware of the deaf community as a whole, not just in Ketchikan, and also to help people understand that ASL is used in addition to people who are hearing impaired or deaf. It's also used by people who are nonverbal, who are unable to speak for any number of reasons, and it's frequently used for children who are nonverbal. Some of them may eventually develop speech, but they're verbally delayed. It's used by people who will never be able to develop speech because of a very large tongue where they're unable to articulate words.
Let's talk a little bit about the deaf culture. I understand that some of that is discussed or explained during these classes.
Yes, and many people misinterpret the emotions of a person who is signing. There is no inflection in signing. There's no emotion in signing. When we use our voice, we can tell if someone's asking a question. We can hear more. We can hear emotion when people are speaking. You can't hear emotion. So the body and the face, that is the inflection. That is the emotion of signing. So a person may be signing and discussing something, maybe that occurred that they were upset about. They're not upset now, but they are relating an event, so they will have that impression. Also, people who are deaf, when they are confronted with somebody who is hearing and they're trying to explain, oftentimes the person who has hearing, who's oral, will speak louder and louder, and they will become intense in their impression, their facial expressions. So the person who's deaf is getting blown away by this. This person is looking aggressive to them. And so when the person who is deaf starts to become agitated, because you've got a person who seems agitated in front of you, it all builds. And so frequently what happens also is that a person who is deaf is walking along. A person is unaware that they're deaf. They're calling out to them. The person who is deaf, they just keep walking. Well, the person's like, well, that's a rude thing. They're just walking away from me, unaware that they are deaf. So then they'll come up and maybe grab their arm. Well, any of us, if we had our arm grabbed quickly, well, we're going to respond. We're going to be defensive, particularly if somebody has come from behind. So then you've got the deaf person, in a sense, set up for a big response. And so this is part of what happens also. And it's important that people become aware that if somebody is ignoring them, there's the potential that they are deaf. And oftentimes we have people wearing earbuds, and so they are potentially, in a sense, deaf to what's going on around them. So when you think about that too, I mean, they have hearing, but they can't hear anything. And there is oftentimes a misunderstanding about the intellectual level of deaf people, which is something that's very upsetting to deaf people. They feel that they are marginalized because they cannot speak and that they sign. People oftentimes say, well, they can just write notes. We'll write notes back and forth. Deaf people really dislike having to write notes back and forth. None of us would want to have to communicate with somebody by just notes. And all of these things have led to a serious rift between the deaf community and the oral community. And part of what we're hoping to do is help smooth out, maybe eliminate part of the rift, and also help people be aware that ASL is used by more than just the deaf community, and offer it to the community as a whole.
So when you speak about, say, you're calling to someone, they're not responding, potentially is a person who is deaf, what should you do? Should you walk in front of them? I mean, is there a proper way to approach them?
It would be far better just to, you know, if you come up to them, tap them on the shoulder gently, not grab their arm. And if you tap them, oh, they'll turn around. And that's one of the things, too, when deaf people are together and they need to get somebody's attention, they will tap their arm. And that's very common. And for people who are hearing, it would seem odd to have somebody tapping on your arm, and it's kind of intrusive, but it's something that's done. So that's the norm. And so that's part of it too. That's part of the etiquette in a sense, and not speaking louder. Many deaf people can read lips to a limited extent. Lip reading, a lot of people misunderstand, and the very best lip readers maybe catch 70%, and generally it's about 30% for lip reading. And so it's not something where you can just have a deaf person read your lips. And some deaf people have never really learned to read lips very well.
And you speak about people talking louder, so basically just speak in a normal voice.
Speak in a normal voice. If they have a little residual hearing or maybe they do have hearing aids, you can enunciate clearly and look straight at them. And that's another big thing is when you are speaking to somebody who is deaf and they are having to read your lips, to make sure you're not accidentally turning your head or doing something that blocks your mouth. And that's one of the most important things. So if they're having to read lips because you're in a group and they're looking at you and reading your lips and you turn to speak to somebody else, now they can't see your lips. And so then they can't hear you in a sense.
And I understand also if someone has an interpreter, you should be looking at the person, not the interpreter.
Yes. You should always be speaking directly to the person who's deaf, and the interpreter will be standing there on the side. It's similar to when I use the video conference or video relay system. I call a number. An interpreter comes on and says, "It's an interpreter system. I'm placing your call." And so then I'm just on the phone talking to somebody, and the interpreter signs. The person has a screen. They sign back, and the interpreter speaks. The interpreter laughs when the person who's deaf is laughing when they're signing, or you know, they include the emotion in their voice to me. So when I'm speaking, they include emotion on their faces to the person who is receiving the signing.
Okay, lots of good information, and unfortunately, we're running out of time here. If people are interested in registering or have more questions, what should they do?
I'd like everybody, if possible, if they use Facebook, to join our Let's Sign Ketchikan Facebook page. So it's Let's Sign, L-E-T apostrophe S, Sign, S-I-G-N, and then the word Ketchikan all spelled out. So I'd prefer that they do that just so that we are all on the same page. And then also, if people have questions or they would like to speak about the classes, they can call me on my cell phone, which is 617-9806.
Okay, great. And again, those classes starting up Tuesday evening beginning June 13th, and then the afternoon class, 1:30 class, begins on June 20th.
Yes, so the afternoon class will be at the sale office in the mall, and the evening classes will be at the library. But please do not call the library about the classes. Call me.
Okay, great. Thank you so much for being here this morning.
Thank you.
Margaret Cloud with Let's Sign Ketchikan, and we will post contact information with this story on our website.